Well, I have my Bible in hand, and I also want to just encourage you, let's take a look at some things here. As we round down our last week of our life groups, I want to throw a quick thank you to our life group leaders in just a moment, because they have really dedicated so much of their time, because as you will notice, even on the life group card, there are life group questions. These couples, these individuals take time out to lead what we would call maybe the altar response to the messages on Sunday. So can we just have our life group leaders who have led just stand and remain standing? I'd like to have Joyce Armendariz as well stand. We have Bob and thank you, Melanie Pickens. We have Paul and Donna Chaffee. Thank you, Mark and Kathy Scheib. We've got Kelly Marvin as well, Lance Thraino overseeing his life group. We also have Matt Homestead, who oversees a life group with the hosting of the McCurdys, so we're grateful for them. Can we just put our hands together and really thank our life group leaders? Job well done. Seriously, so grateful. So as we go ahead, let's begin. You're going to see here, we are in the third part of our series, which is entitled Our Season to Bless. Our season to bless, and we've been encouraging ourselves to take your voice and speak God bless you to somebody. When was the last time you actually said that? And it's just more than a passing fancy or some form of affirmation that you're a good person or you're a good child, good job, God bless you. But there really is validity and power behind our spoken expressions of blessing. Today, we're taking it to a level that I want to address, and I want to just kind of expose some things because so many are responding in such positive ways, saying, man, that brings me hope of having such blessing come our way, but how about to our family if we don't have our family expressing or experiencing God's blessing? So let's pray for a moment. Father, open our hearts as we open your word. Help us to see and to understand those things that you have for us and to allow, Lord, breakthrough come where there's been generational issues that have taken a foothold in the family. We're going to believe today by the power of the Holy Spirit, those things will stop, minimize, be gone in Jesus' name. Amen? Well, with that, today's message is entitled Reclaiming Family Blessings. That's today's message. We're going to probably pick up on it again next Sunday. What a way to go into an Independence Day kind of gathering. But let me just start by a couple of just observations or maybe even questions for you. Have you ever experienced where all of a sudden you know you have family history where it seems to be a pattern of something that keeps on reoccurring? And when you hear of family stories, you realize, man, that happened to granddad? That happened to great-grandmother? That's interesting. Is that just commonplace? I mean, that's a whole nother generation. Why would that be? Or maybe you could say you would even possibly question things like, for example, where you know that we're talking about blessings of God on your life and on your family, but it seems like when the goodness of God starts coming in or you get so excited like, yes, that's mine. And then you realize something sabotaged that. Maybe that's not for me. Maybe something is off base and somehow maybe I'm not that good to receive that. Or possibly there are other forms of interference that would distract the blessings of God coming. That's what we want to take a look at. And we're going to look at today how those negative things could be filtered on down through the family. And I don't want any of us to view that, man, Pastor Paul may be looking for somebody to blame. I am not. But there's just something that we want to take a look at and recognize and identify. We're looking at reclaiming blessings, reclaiming family blessings. I've got my Bible open to Galatians 3. We recognize that in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, we were there and we saw that God, through Christ, has promised even the Gentiles blessing. Who are the Gentiles? Well, if you are not born a Jew by birth, then you are a Gentile, a non-Jew. And if you're born again as a Christian, then you're neither Jew or Gentile, Scripture says in Corinthians. You're now part of the body of Christ or the church of God. But check it out with me. New Living Translation says, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law when he was hung on the cross. When did it take place? When he was on the cross. He took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. And for it is written in the Scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Now, in our wonderful Wednesday night church, we're going to accentuate that promised Holy Spirit. So if you only heard about him, we want all of us to experience him, because we'll be taking a look at Jesus and the second coming. But something about the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so significant. And by the way, you're in a Pentecostal church, and it's important for us to take a look. So we know that there are some things that are noteworthy, because even in clinical environments, they recognize that family histories need to be brought up. That's why they'll bring you a clipboard, and they're wanting to ask about maybe your family history. Is there any form of medical or emotional ill health that you know of in your family? Things that can be generationally passed on down. So even in the clinics, they know that there are things that be brought forward into your life. It helps them. It helps them to recognize those things that can be passed on. When we know here, because when we were looking at last time we were together, we were dealing with blessing our children, that we as Christians bless our children in two ways, by words, like that Numbers chapter 6 says, God bless you, God's peace be upon you. Those are very significant expressions. I told you and me that we will never give away something we don't perceive we have. So if you don't really feel you're blessed or have that capacity to bless, and we laid that out about that legal element through the Scriptures, you just saw it in Scriptures, you can bless something, and it's important to be able to do just that, that we are also to bless our children by our conduct or by the way that we live our life. Let's look for a moment here. We saw this in Exodus chapter 20, and it's a part of the Ten Commandments, and there's the first two. I think it's worth noting, because in Exodus 20, verse 1, it says, then God gave the people all these instructions. I am the Lord your God, who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. I think God always wants to remind people. It's important for me to remember, man, God pulled me out of some real crud. So I'm so grateful, but sometimes I forget. It's good that we remember, man, what did God do for me lately? Pulled you out of some hideous bondages, some addictions, and some overwhelming, uncontrollable urges. And then he says something like this, who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery, verse 3, for you must not have any other god but me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. So when we see something like that, we know it's written. And the element of God writing something like that, why would the Lord be so, it seems like vindictive to me, to visit the iniquity of the fathers, the third and fourth generation. We had shared last time we were together that we have to be careful as parents, sometimes even spiritual parents, even those that are leading elements of just teaching, because we pattern things to the next generation. And when God says, be careful not to have an idol of anything on this planet, be careful not to bow to it, don't let it really control your environment. Why? Because it'll affect the next generation, and they will teach it in turn to their children to the third and fourth generation. I shared with you how we lived in Banning, Riverside area, right next to the Morongo Indian Reservation. We were there 15 years. We were pastoring the Banning Four Square Church. Yeah, I'm telling you, God sends people out to the desert and learn a few things. And boy, did we learn a few things. One of them was how the Indians have totems. They have things that would list to say these are values in our tribe or in our family. It wasn't just dream catchers. You would say this is what they value here, and to be relational in their heritage, you want to value them too. You can see where if this is a wrong approach, if they're viewing God in a wrong way, this would be transferred over to their children, who would in turn grow up and say, my granddad taught us this, you will now too. And that's how it goes on. God's just saying, be careful about those things. You're setting an example. Somebody said that by the time your life is over, you will directly influence 100 people. 100 people will follow how you live, breathe, and act. And 300 indirectly. They just know you. They watch you. They're not really that close to you, but 300 people by the time you say adios to this planet. So what we do and how we live is really important. So when we take a look here, it's significant. I remember as a youth pastor in Azusa Four Square Church, pastoring these young people in Azusa, California, and I'd have a whole hour and a half with them. Doesn't that sound like a lot? And then they would go home for the rest of the week to be influenced by their relatives. It was a very challenging time. Who are they going to believe, dear mom and dad, or dear little upstart youth pastor trying to tell them the ways of Jesus? It was really challenging, unless there was a miracle that came through, just a breakthrough. So it's important, dear parents, dear adults, that we set an example properly, because these generational things do influence and come on. So the question is, can we ever really stop these negative influences, and can we claim that blessing? The answer to both is yes. That's the beautiful thing. That's the beautiful thing about being a believer in this season and in our lives. You know, someone would say, well, that was Old Testament stuff. We're living in the New Testament. You have Jesus. Man, those things can't follow on through. I don't know how to explain it other than there seems to be still a pattern that we could let things in. For example, let's just show here for a moment here, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, where it says this, and don't sin. This is to the church at Ephesus. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Now, it's interesting that that person's name is brought in, but that word foothill, or in the New King James, don't give place to the devil, means don't give territory over to darkness. So if the Bible says we can actually give place, we certainly can. Therefore, it's important for us, if we're really going to live that life that we know we are intended to live with a blessing and a prosperous life, be careful what and how we bring certain things even upon ourselves. So I'm thrilled when we take a look and talk with certain pastors and we talk about, man, let's reclaim the blessings for our city. Let's reclaim the blessings for our nation. Man, our nation was founded on some great things. And it's wonderful when we take a look at that. There are now steps, areas that people are reclaiming blessings over a church, over families. Those are probably the two big institutions in our nation, the church and the family. And how about what the Supreme Court ruled this past week? How significant is that? How did that happen? You might say, well, it was just some good planning and some timing of that. Man, God intervened. And I want to thank you for doing just that. It's important for us. So what would be a pattern of some negative areas that could possibly be passed down? We'll deal with some of that maybe at another time, but let me read a list off. And it's in some of your summary there of your notes. But some of those things that could be passed down would be alcoholism, patterns that are carried on down from generation to generation, sexual addictions, mental or physical sickness, deep racial prejudices, rage, gambling issues, addictive behaviors, suicidal tendencies, eating disorders, and people that just have a pattern to cut themselves. So how would that happen? Where would that originate if we were to be able to say, man, there are people in maybe our families that have had those things happen to us? We can stop that and reclaim the blessings of Jesus. But again, I'm not taking a look at, we're not trying to blame anyone. We're just seeing how negative environments can come, because the issue was raised, if I'm so blessed, how come I feel like these things stall out on me? And I find I take a couple of steps forward, but so many more backward. Well, how do these negative environments or negative patterns get passed down? Let's three bullet points you can see on your notes. And you may want to write some verses down, because some will show. Some are listed, some are not. But first is influenced by family patterns. We've talked about that. I think it's worth noting, because there's oftentimes people would say, it's Old Testament stuff. We're free in Jesus. But check it out with me, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. And 19. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. Boy, we found that out, didn't we, huh? You stock market investors, okay. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. So we look here for a moment. How many of you and I know we've grown up into an environment, we learn our boundaries, we learn our values, we start to see what the family cherishes. Those are values that are brought up. Those are things, that's how so much of that is brought on. And sometimes we'd say, well, I had a healthy home life. Maybe we didn't. Who knows? But nevertheless, your home life will be an element that brings in certain patterns. I remember, I was in fifth grade when I recognized that my dad was flawed. It was a shock. How many remember that? When if you're with your parent, keep your hand down. Do not. I am not out there to. But I remember that. It was a bummer. It's like, wow, I thought my dad was really like perfect. And there is something maybe that was wrong with me, because I was starting to feel this independence, you know, knowing everything at fifth grade, and you start so wrong. But there is that area that you start to see and sense. So we have to be careful about that. But then the grace of God comes in, and grace of God starts to change us. That's what's happened to so many of us, that we start to see and sense a renewed pattern in our life. Our spirit's been renewed. That's what God's word says. But still our mind and our soul needs to be changed out. Check it out with me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21 says this. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. What is that new nature? See, that's the thing that we start to see a person that really starts to have a relationship going on with God. There's a change of attitude, change of action that starts to take place. So we thank God how he does that. Oftentimes people say, if you just kind of put your thoughts together, more of a great environment, and maybe get a better job, life will be better. Man, why don't we try Jesus? You could always go back to the old way. Just go all the way in for Jesus and see how he changes things, especially on the inside. Second bullet point, influenced by environment. Let's take a look here at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. See what it says here. Influenced by environment. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So putting off that old environment that we've learned, putting on the new. How many remember if you didn't have an active set of parents or parent involved in your life? We all went to school and we learned it from our colleagues. Our questions were answered. We were exposed to things. Matter of fact, it's said now that even younger than junior high, students are being exposed to pornography. So you can see there, if they're not being told and maybe schooled on certain things, you can guarantee that there's a vast majority of education, not always favorable, going on among peers and the influence that's happening there. So parents, be active, explain, share, be addressing. And if you say, well, my child is wonderful, my adult teenager, spot on, perfect. We found, invite their friends over for lunch. You will find out what your child's all about. You will see and understand, and it'll be exposed to you. Because it's worth noting in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, check it out, it says this, 1 Corinthians 15, 33, it says, don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. The New King James says, don't be deceived, bad company corrupts good morals. And you might say, well, my child's going to withstand all the onslaught of oppressive things. That's why we want to keep praying, dear believers in Jesus, because our school system is trying to approach things in a different angle. And so it's important that we get a chance to be highly involved and engaged both in a spiritual community as well as within your own family. It's going to be important. Influenced by demonization. Let's take a look at that, and this will be helpful, but this is probably the most powerful. It's not that a Christian can be demon-possessed, no. Matter of fact, I think a Christian could have anything they want, really. But demonized, where they just have been involved more in things that they should. And that works of darkness terrorize, maybe traumatize. It's important that we recognize the importance of that. And how would works of darkness, demonic creatures, how would they be able to have such a troubling element to Christians? Two ways. One is by legal permission. How about that? Or just by straight permission. Legal right or by permission. Let's take a look here. A couple of verses to note. Luke chapter 22. Satan's asking for the disciples. Jesus addressed that. In Luke 22, 31, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. It's interesting. How could Jesus know something like that? Well, who knows what's in the heavenlies? And it's worth noting in Scripture, there's a lot of dialogue that's going on. You and I know that the unseen realm is very real, very real. You don't even know what's going on until you see the after effects, kind of like wind. How do you know it's a windy day? You can't see the wind, but you sure see the palm trees blowing. How do you know works of darkness are active? They're not here. Well, you sure see the actions of evil, diabolical schemes going on. So it's important we take a look at that. I do emphasize one thing, and I think there's a lot more to it than we can, but Job chapter 1 talks about something that still scholars wrestle with, but it's worth noting because there are some tremendous scholarly works that are out there about the unseen realm. And Job chapter 1, verse 6 talks about there's dialogue between God and Satan over Job. And most can't place where the book of Job literally goes. Most feel it was written even before the days of Abraham, way back at the beginning when the earth was really evolving. But something was going on. Check it out. One day it says, the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser, capital A, Satan, came with them. Where have you come from? The Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, I've been patrolling the earth, watching everything that goes on. There's much more in that dialogue, but you can see here that area of permission. God says, well, I'm going to let you go ahead and have access to Job, just don't take his life. So anything that comes across your life, you know, is not going to be permissible without somehow coming across the desk of Almighty God. Hang in there. Hang in there. But realize what you're wrestling with and what you're dealing with. The other way is through legal right. In Ephesians chapter 4, we were addressing that earlier. Just check that out with me, because this usually happens when a Christian violates a principle of God, or let's just say unrepentant area. You know, we could be in an area that we know is not right. And oftentimes I've sat with Christians after just a collapse of a lot of stuff. And it's like, what? How did this come about? And they will all say, I know what God was saying here. I should have turned my life around way back there. I was probably waiting for the worst possible thing so that it would force me to do the right thing. Oh, ouch. So when we take a look here, Ephesians 4:26, once again, and don't sin by letting anger control you. And don't let sin go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. And that word foothold means an opportunity. It actually means territory. Just because you allow, or I allow, anger to really get a hold of us. Man, some bad things really happen when people get angry. Just look at Cain and Abel. God even approached him saying, Cain, why are you angry? Why don't you just tell, let's talk it over. And you know what happened out of that anger dispute. God oftentimes wants to help us, and he is, again, in this word. You and I know that we have a wonderful set of family, don't we? We have two sets. We have a family that's called the body of Christ. This family's here, called Hope Chapel. It's a tremendous gift to be a part of a body of believers. It's a tremendous gift. God's richly blessed Hope Chapel. Is something that this is where the grace of God flows. There's something about that that's so significant for each person. And because you and I adhere to that, there's something where we receive much. There's great things in the Word of God that says how significant it is that we are part of the body of Christ. Jesus was the one that named it. It's my church, he told Peter. And upon this church, I'm going to build my church. Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail. So it's important for us to recognize, be a part of a church. That's where the blessings fold. The other is your biological family. Everybody has family. Even if they're all distantly removed from one another, we all have a family, and that heritage comes down one way or the other. Today, we're trying to take a look at the benefits of receiving, reclaiming blessings. You might be, regardless of age, you might be the most solid, strong, mature Christian in your family. You could set the tempo to have the blessings of God start flowing. I have my three adult children. They're grown. But I'll tell you, I'm very concerned for my 11 grandchildren. Those are the ones. We know what side my children came from. But sometimes the in-laws have situations that you want to protect and provide. So when we deal with something like this, some of you say, well, this is something I really haven't thought about, but it's worth noting, and we're going to watch how the Holy Spirit rolls these things out. Some of you might say, well, why is it so important for us to have those blessings? And I want to just bring it about in this regard. When we were in Deuteronomy chapter 28, we were looking at the really qualified to blessing. That was our first part, qualified to bless. And we looked at the seven tremendous blessings upon you or I. We use that phrase, it pays to obey. What if we don't? Well, write down Deuteronomy 28, 15, verse 68. Deuteronomy 28, 15, verse 68. I'm grateful that you're following with us. Let me just highlight some of the lost by those elements when a person decides not to obey or follow the Lord. The losses that come to family or to individuals. Living conditions will be lost. Provisions of food, lost. Afflictions and diseases, mental illness and breakdowns. Slavery of children, not that they'll go off into incarceration, but sometimes enslaved by other items or addictions, failure in life goals, always dreaming but never quite adhering to that. Agricultural conditions will be less than usual, loss in childbearing, drought, marital problems. There will be fear and dread placed upon people, almost like where you are just overly sensitive, hyper-concerned, anxious, and then the whole financial realm loss. So it seems like God really wants to bring blessings. We have seen that and how important it is for us to follow Jesus. Well, the Lord has really, really done some great things, and we're all about blessing one another. It's important for us. And I want to just encourage us at this time. We're going to be dealing with some things, even next Sunday, Lord willing. But it's going to be important for us. You would want to take a look at a little bit of a homework assignment. I have the steps to reclaiming family blessings. You may want to go ahead and consider just looking at that. You and I would want to go and possibly two steps. I would encourage you to say, well, what does that look like and how do we go about doing that? Tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning, right here in this room, we have something that's called the Healing Hour with Dawn and Hanya Gallitzin. Come. If you've never really gone through something like this and you say, man, I think we've got issues going on and I've kind of gathered things from my family heritage that I want off of me. I want my blessings from the Lord and these things I want gone. You may want to consider this and have somebody walk you through it. Tomorrow at 8 o'clock would be ideal. Being with our life group leaders, just praying. This is not a one-and-done thing. You could see here, these are some very intentional areas we found very freeing for people to say, in my life and at this time, these patterns stop. This will not come on my grandchildren or my great-grandchildren. I am setting a pattern for the blessings of the Lord to come. So with that in mind, I think it's going to be important right now. We consider some things. Let's just bow your heads with me, would you, for a moment? Just bow your heads. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just consider some areas. There's just some thoughts that come. Holy Spirit, just bring some things to mind. There are areas, we're so grateful that the blood of Jesus is so capable of not only cleaning us, but setting us free. Setting us free. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. The Holy Spirit identifies something, then that's the area that he's going to work on. That's going to be the area that he's going to bring victory. And if you're here with your eyes closed, and if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, would you join me in that right now? Would you present your life to Jesus as your own personal Lord and Savior? There's something that needs to be settled right now. It's Jesus, I'm all in. And I want to encourage you, eyes closed, but you just know the Lord's moving you to give your life to him. Would you just put your hand in the air and say, Pastor Paul, that's me. Thank you. So you're there at home. Thank you. I see that hand. Go ahead and put it down. Thank you. You're needing to recommit your life to the Lord. Anything in that area that you just know, I don't want to just be lukewarm. I want to go all the way in for God. You could just put your hand up and say, that's me too. I'm all the way. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to believe that you who are with us still, thank you. So important. This brief prayer will revolutionize everything about your pursuit moving forward. Don't despair. God's here. But I want to invite you to pray with me right now this simple prayer of surrendering your life, turning things around, giving your life to him. Let's all pray out loud. For the sake of these five hands that went up, five individuals, we want to join them in that declaration. Prayer goes like this. Dear Jesus, I believe in you, that you are the Savior of the world. And this day, I give you my life. I surrender now everything. Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Come into my life to stay. I choose to serve you in Jesus' name. I trust you for eternal life in heaven with you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. I want to thank the Lord for all of you praying that, but especially for the hands that went up, or even some of the hands. Well, it's so important for us, and I thank you. This is one of those unusual messages that are so necessary for those awarenesses that sometimes you work so hard at things, but you realize, what is it that's holding me back? Today's a breakthrough. Today's a coming out day in a good way. And I want to thank the Lord for what He's going to be doing. We actually need to get you outside. We have a song, and we somehow kind of, but let's just sing one line of it or two. Shall we do that? I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.